That's good. Round three. Amen. Amen. Well, good to see all of y'all here tonight. Good to see some visitors. And this afternoon, it was nice. We had a fat-free, calorie-free, vegan beef rib. Oh man, that was good. That was good. All right. Well, like we've done the last couple nights, at the end we'll pass a plate and all that stuff. But I don't think there's any other. Is there any announcements I need to make tonight, Mary Beth? Mary Beth, hey. Is there any announcements that I need to make? Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, good deal. Brother Joel, come on up here. We'll get y'all wired up to be buzzed and everything, all that. Let's see if I can get it all untangled. Air conditioning, probably. All right, that's on.
Okay.
And then... Got it. I tell you what, let's pray. We'll pray right before we get started here. Father, thank you so much for the time you have. Mercy to you. Pray that you would heal up her body, help her. I know she's in a lot of pain right now, but I pray you'd help her. Do thank you for all the visitors that are here tonight. I pray that you'd speak to them. Pray that you'd speak to us through Brother Joel here and help us. We all need help. We need help from you, and that's what we're here to get something from you. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Sure is a blessing to be here tonight and to see many of you here. It's so funny. You know, I came to Texas to get warm, and I'm looking at you guys. Y'all have got coats on. And honestly, the day when we went to lunch, it was freezing cold. I could not believe how cold it was. So I would say I'm going to take some sunshine back from Texas, but y'all have lost it for a little bit. I'm sure it'll be back. And I know many have probably been at work today. And so I appreciate you being in church on Wednesday night. We have people that come straight from work to church. And I would rather them do that than to miss church and the fellowship with people. What we have here with live stream and the radio and internet is great. But when you're on that end, if you're at home, and we have a lot of people at home, my mother and dad, because of his Parkinson's, they weren't able to attend church for quite some time. They had to just watch it by live stream. But when you're doing that, you're just on the getting end. It's just on the getting end. You're not really on the participating end. You're not on the end where you can actually contribute something. And I kind of like it this way. Have you ever seen a cooking show? And boy, they bring out all the ingredients, and man, you see all the smoke, and you hear the sizzle, and man, they're just cooking it right in front of you, and it looks so good. But you know, you can't partake of what's going on there. You can look at it, and you can say, man, that looks really good, but you can't take a bite of it. And the same thing's kind of true when you're at church, when you're inside the building. There's something you can partake of. You can not just get, but you can give to somebody else. And I enjoyed today. I've got to make a statement. Today we went and we had a beef rib, a beef rib. There's people who wouldn't understand why I would say a beef rib, but it's just all you need is one a beef rib. And then had brisket to go with that. And so one of my friends I was watching last night, maybe he's watching tonight, the reason we had a beef rib is because in Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia, all of us poor people in that part of the country didn't have oil there to help us have cattle. We had to eat pigs. That's all we had. Just so we do pork ribs. We don't do beef ribs. But my friend reminded me there are some people that cook barbecue in South Carolina, and he's right. So I just need to make sure I said that tonight so that when I get back to South Carolina, there'll still be some barbecue there. Amen. All right, take your Bible tonight, 1 Timothy 2. I don't think I'm going to finish or even come close to finishing what I have on paper. So I'm asking God to give us tonight what you really need. And if he'll do that, then I think we can be satisfied. And how many of you think that God has something he'd like to say to you tonight? I'm not talking about to your wife or to your husband, to your mom, your dad, your children. I'm talking about he wants to say something to you. I think if you go back and you look in the book of Genesis, we will, God enjoys fellowship with man. And he wants to fellowship with you. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, probably one of the greatest chapters in the Bible on prayer. Maybe not the greatest prayer. You have John 17 where Jesus prayed. But here you have a great chapter on prayer. And certainly it's a great chapter on prayer because it's written by inspiration. It's true. So everything in the chapter is true. And also if you look at verse 7, wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. The man that God used to write chapter 2 said he was a teacher of faith and verity. So in other words, the apostle Paul had a gift of teaching. I think that's one of the reasons God allowed him to write 13 books of the Bible. He was a very educated man. Now, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they were just unlearned fishermen. But Paul, very educated, had a gift. And so what we find here was written by a man who was certainly gifted. He also was an example of prayer. I know we've turned to 1 Timothy 2, but would you go to Ephesians 6 just a minute? If you turn back just a few pages to your left, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st Timothy, Ephesians 6. When talking about the armor of God, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He makes prayer the final piece of explaining the armor of God, that we need to be praying always with all prayer and supplication with all perseverance for all saints. You couldn't miss the emphasis. The emphasis is we need to be a praying people. Look at the very next verse, though. The very next verse. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In other words, he's saying, if you don't pray for me, I can't get the job done. So what he's saying is, I'm teaching you to pray, but I'm an example. We should pray always. And Paul, I believe he believed that. And then he also encouraged others to pray because of what it brought to the table in helping the ministry needs. Now go back, if you would, to 1 Timothy 2. And we'll read a little bit, and then we'll pray a little bit, and then we'll preach a little bit. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Let's pray. Lord, please help us tonight as we look into your precious word to be in agreement with what you have written. And Lord, help us to make the adjustment to our lives that you want us to make. Speak to every person here, Lord. I pray you'd speak plainly and clearly. And I pray that when we're finished tonight, that you'll be glorified and we'll be a better people for what we've heard and what we've put into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to do is this. If you'd write this down, I've got 4 points. I don't think I'll preach them all, but the first point is this, that we have in verse number 1, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. That prayer should be a priority in our life. I don't think that prayer is not a question of time. Because if you ask somebody, have you talked to the Father today? Have you spent time praying today? They'll tell you, well, I just haven't had the time to pray. I don't think it's a question of time. I think it's a question of whether or not you put a high enough value or priority on prayer. And that's why it says, look in the passage, I exhort therefore that first of all, do you see that in your Bible? First of all. He's saying prayer ought to be a priority. I exhort therefore that first of all, that it should be first, that it should be something that is a priority. How many of you appreciated the teenagers singing tonight? Wasn't that a blessing? But now, you know what? Prayer is more important than your teenager singing tonight. Prayer is a priority when it comes to singing. I love singing, and I think that we have had a good time singing this week, especially as a congregation. And I'm for congregational singing. We have a big choir in the church that I pastor, and I love to hear that choir sing. We have people that sing specials, and we got a great big Hammond organ, old-fashioned organ, but it's a great big organ. And man, that thing, I love to hear people sing. But prayer is more important than singing. I'll go a step further. I think prayer may be more important than preaching. You say, what do you mean? Well, I know what I came here to do tonight. I came here to preach tonight. I came here to open the Bible. I know the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God places a high priority on preaching. But I would say this, without proper praying, preaching will never be what it's supposed to be. If the man of God is not praying, then it's not going to be what the people need. He might be able to give a sermon. He might have his points. It might be entertaining. It might be interesting. But I'm going to tell you what it's not. It won't have the power in it that it needs to touch the heart and soul. And I'm telling you what we need this in this country, we need preaching that's got the power of God on the inside of it. That's why I say prayer may be more important than preaching. It may be more important than witnessing in this regard. A witness is something you can give. You can pass a tract. You can tell somebody what the gospel is, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. But without proper praying, it's just a passing of information. A dear friend of mine, years ago, I heard him preaching this illustration. He said that he had a man that talked to him about his wife. And he said, now listen, or no, vice versa, a woman that talked to him about her husband, and he said, my husband is just a very hard man, and he just won't listen to anybody. And he said, well, I'm a preacher. I'll go talk to him. He said, he especially doesn't like to hear preachers. He said, that's all right. I'll go to the hospital, and I'll see him. And so he went to go see him, and he visited with him, and he talked to him, and he got nowhere at all. Nothing happened. And he said he got in his car. Are you listening? And he rode around for about 2 hours, begging God to forgive him for not having enough power to be able at least to touch that man's heart in the hospital who was dying and was a sinner and was going to end up in hell. And he said after 2 hours, he turned around and he pulled his car back in the hospital and he went back upstairs and he said, sir, if you don't mind, could I talk to you again about Jesus? And he said after a little while and them talking about the Bible and turned to some scriptures, that man got saved. You say, what's the difference? Prayer. It's a priority. Now, it may not be a priority to you and I. Many times I heard this said long ago that prayer is our last resort. It's the last thing we do, and it's our first response. So when something happens, boy, man, we've got to pray, and it's our last resort. I would say prayer ought to be our priority. And can I say this? Hey, mom and dad, if prayer is not a priority to you, it will not be a priority to your children. If prayer is not a priority to this pastor, this church, it will not be a priority to this church. It will be, if it's a priority, it's something that we put emphasis on. It's something that we say, we're going to spend time praying. It has to be a priority. Let me show you a couple of things about that. The first church, we look at the first church in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 1 just a minute. I'm amazed at what the first church is able to accomplish. And I think the reason they were able to accomplish what they did is because they made prayer a priority. They didn't have a printing press. They didn't have a Bible like you and I have. You understand, in the book of Acts, the first church did not have a book, 66 books in one Bible. They didn't have that. They didn't have communication like you and I have. They didn't have the phone. They didn't have those things. They didn't have vehicles like you and I have. They didn't have buildings like you and I had to come into. That's not what they had. But what they did have is they had the gospel and they had a mandate from God. Go into all the world. And let me show you what they did with that. Acts chapter 1. I know you know the verses. But the Bible speaks about it in verse number 14. Excuse me. Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So you see these people in this upper room. These people that have gathered together. And what they're doing is they're praying. They're praying in one accord with the women. The women are praying right there with them. And the Bible says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. And his brethren are there. They're all gathered together and they're praying together. That's what they're doing. They're making a priority out of prayer. It continues over. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, excuse me, in verse number four, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why? Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. They're all there praying together. That same group of people you find in 1:14 is praying in chapter 2, and they're calling out to God. They've made it a priority. Look at it again in Acts chapter 4, if you would look at what the Bible says in verse number 24. Acts 4 and verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Listen, when they heard the report that these men had been threatened and that they had been commanded not to speak the word of God, they lifted up their voice to God. They're praying. Look at it again in verse 31. Oh my, if we could get this tonight. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, lest we have some people that are young Christians, speaking the word of God with boldness is the mark of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not something that is marked or noted by having some, you know, manifestation of some sign gift, speaking in tongues or whatever that may be. The Bible is very clear. Look at it again. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 31, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They were talking about Jesus. You know why that is? In John 16, the Bible says that the Spirit will guide the believer into all truth. But then he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of Jesus. He's going to speak of him. And all I'm saying is this. You get around somebody that's always talking about Jesus Christ, I'd say that person right there's got something on the inside of them. But they got it through prayer. Do you see that? And when they prayed, the place was shaking. If this place started shaking tonight, what would you do? What would you do? I mean, we came here, we gathered just like the New Testament church gathered. If this place started shaking tonight, what would you do? You can say, well, does it really mean that in the Greek? It means exactly what it says. The place was shaken. Just like in Acts 16. You remember Paul, Barnabas, praying, singing songs at midnight, and the Bible says that jail was shaken. I believe if we did more praying, I believe God might do some more shaking. I think I'll say that again because I like hearing it. If we would do some more praying, maybe God would do some shaking. Shaking of our churches to help make life in there. It was a priority to them. I'm telling you, their priority was not our priority. Our priority, I think today, too many times is ourselves. Too many things about our life. We live such a busy life. Their priority was, we are going to stop and we are going to take time and we are going to talk to the God of heaven. And they made it a priority. That's why you see so many people saved in the book of Acts. That's why you see so many wonderful works of God in the book of Acts. Jailers being saved and their whole house. Religious rulers being saved and their whole house. I'm telling you, that is a key. It has to be a priority. Is it a priority in your life? Is prayer a priority to you? Or is prayer just something that we do when we find out a friend has cancer? Or is it just something we do over a meal? Or is it just something we do when nothing else seems to work well? Maybe at least we can pray. Not these people. They made it a priority. And that's exactly what you find in 1 Timothy. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you still with me? Could you say amen? Because if you're not with me, I'm going to go back and preach my first point again. Because it's a priority. If I can leave this place and you can see without prayer being a priority, you're going to have to make some changes in your life to make prayer a priority. You might have to get up earlier. You might have to put some things aside. You might have to say, we're going to make a focused time and we're going to sit down, we're going to pray together. But we're going to pray every day. And if we have to go through a prayer list, we're going to make it a priority. It's going to be the top of the list. Secondly, if you look in the passage, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. If you would, number two, this is the pattern of prayer. The pattern of prayer. Now, when I say the pattern of prayer, I'm not saying that every prayer necessarily fits into one of these four, but it may very well do that. And he gives you four different types or ways of praying: supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. That's a pattern that he gives. So when I look at that first word, supplication, that first word, supplication, is an earnest request. And the first time that word occurs is in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 12. In 1 Samuel 13 and verse 12, Saul says, "I have not yet made supplications," and the Philistines are upon him. So what he's saying is, I've got an earnest request that I need to get before God. I need to get something before God, and I need to be earnest about it. Now, you can see the same thing in 1 Kings chapter 8. Supplication occurs over and over again, and that's Solomon. Solomon's prayer after God promised, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from them their wicked ways and pray, then will I heal their land." His prayer in 1 Kings 8 is based upon God's promise. And he's saying, "God, if you bring judgment upon them for this and they make supplication, then hear. If you bring judgment upon them for this reason and they make supplication, then hear." So supplication is an earnest request. It is taking and putting forth something very earnestly to God. I saw it again last night, and I hope I never forget it. But I saw again last night on that pew right there, I saw tears that were on that pew. And that tells me that somebody in this congregation has something so moving their heart that it's causing tears to be expressed from their eyes. And what that means is a very earnest request. God, please help us. Listen, I really believe with all my heart you have a good church. How many of you think you have a good church? How many of you glad that you're part of this church? If you earnestly prayed for this church, what would this church be capable of? If you really made prayer a priority and you earnestly prayed for the man that was preaching, if you earnestly prayed and said, "God, please give him exactly what we need to hear tonight," I wonder how many people's needs would be met. If we earnestly prayed, and I mean that supplication, an earnest request. "God, here's what we need." And you know, I'm glad I've got a God in heaven that whenever we have a request we make to him, it may be big in your eyes, but he has all the supply that you need to get the job done. Amen. If it's grace, he's got the supply. If it's mercy, he's got the supply. If it's strength, he's got the supply. If it's wisdom, he's got the supply. If it's material goods, he's got the supply. God has the ability to supply the need. Amen. To be earnest with that. Now look at the second thing, the word prayers there. Supplication, prayers. So prayer, what is prayer? I'm going to make the word prayer tonight, I'm going to make that word about fellowship. Not about an earnest request, but about fellowship. I have had some good fellowship with your pastor since I've been here. Had some good fellowship today at a barbecue restaurant that I'm not going to advertise for, but if you know the name of it, you go see Brother Tommy. He'll tell you exactly where it is. I mean, we had good fellowship today. We spent time talking. I mean, we just enjoyed good fellowship. And you know, we didn't have to have a glass of wine or a bottle of beer to have good fellowship. We had good fellowship because we had a kindred spirit between what was going on. It was just good. And I believe that's God. God wants fellowship with you. In fact, here's some verses to think about. Proverbs 15:8, the Bible says, "The prayer of the upright is his delight." It's his delight. Boy, I'm looking out there back there to Anissa right now. She's looking down at Hannah. That one day Hannah's going to say something. She's going to say, "Mama." Yeah. And Daddy, I hate to tell you this, that'll be on down the road a little while. She's going to call your name. What are their first words? We write those things down. "Oh, come here. Come." My wife called me one day. She said, Joel, Daniel said your name. He said Dada. I said he did, and I was at work. Man, I jumped up. Of course, I'm pastoring, so I could leave work. So I jumped up from my desk. I head across over to the street. I get to my house. I come inside. I'm so excited. "Okay, say it, son." "All right, go ahead, say it. Say, Dada." I told my wife he didn't say that. She said, yes, he did. I left so dejected that I didn't get to hear him say something to me. Because to hear his voice, that's my delight. I can't tell you how many times in life hearing somebody's voice is just a delight. My dad went to heaven in December. Every time I called my dad on the phone, even when his mind was losing connection, it didn't matter. When I'd call, Mom would bring the phone to him and she'd say, Wyman, it's Joel. And she'd put it in front of him and I'd say, hey, Dad. And he'd say, hey, son. And I loved to hear him say it because it was a delight. It was a blessing to hear his voice. I found myself missing that voice in the last few months. I found myself wishing that I could go back to the house again and walk in and see him smile and say, hey, son. My wife would teach my children when I would come home from work. They would come, all those feet pitter-patter on the floor to the door, and they would all say, Daddy's home! I'd pick up my kids, good to see you. Because there was a delight in that fellowship. Come on, don't you believe that Jesus Christ, he died for you and he paid for your sins and he gave you his righteousness? And yes, he did it because he wants you to fulfill the purpose that you were created for, but he wants to have fellowship with you. Revelation chapter 3 in verse number 20, Jesus is outside the church knocking. Now, I know a lot of times we use that as an evangelistic type verse. You know, if you'll open up your heart, Jesus will come in. Well, really, he's outside the church and he's knocking. He said, if you'll open the door, I'll come inside. I want to sit down in fellowship. I don't know if I'm amazed that the God of heaven would want to sit down and spend any time with me. Now, I appreciate your pastor spending time with me, but I cannot believe that the God of heaven really wants to hear my voice and wants to sit down and talk with me. Listen, he wants to fellowship with you. That's what prayer is. Prayer's not always this long laundry list of sin and requests. It's just fellowship. It's fellowship. And the Lord enjoys that. And that's something that you ought to be involved with. Let me show you a little bit about why I think it's such a blessing to God. Put a mark right there again in 1 Timothy and go with me, if you would, over to Revelation chapter 5. Get Revelation 5, if you would. I know we're turning the Bible tonight, but I think it's important for you to see what's in the Scripture. This is such rich, important truth. Prayer. Am I spending any time in fellowship with God? Look what the Bible says, Revelation 5. The Bible's speaking about a picture in heaven. So we get to see a picture into heaven in Revelation 5 where the throne of God is. And at the throne of God, where the most important place in all of the universe, all of creation, the Bible says in verse 8, and when he had taken the book, speaking of Jesus, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So in heaven, the Bible says that there are vials, golden vials. If you put something in a golden vial, it must be very valuable. And they have these golden vials, and in those golden vials are the prayers of the saints. That God has taken and he has collected those and he has put them down into those golden vials. Look at it again so you don't think that I'm just making that up. Look at Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Look at verse number 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Do you see? God, it's as if God has taken, and just like you would child's first words, first steps, all these things that we collect, these prayers that you have prayed for your children, for your spouse, for your country. God took those prayers and he said, That is so valuable. I'm going to keep that prayer and I'm going to put it in this golden vial. And it's going to be poured out like incense. So when it's poured out, that this aroma comes up before God and he smells that and it's something that he enjoys. It's his delight. It's something that smells good. It's something that is refreshing, that takes and it makes the soul to rejoice, to joy in what it smells. Now, listen, there's some smells I don't appreciate. I had a crazy young man from West Virginia. We're riding down the road, and while we're riding down the road, we came across obviously where a skunk had been, and he stopped. He stopped and he started backing up. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "You smell that?" I said, "I do. It's terrible." He said, "You can't get that smell everywhere." He said, "I need to back up and get a little more of that." I thought, you've lost your mind. There's things that smell horrible and rotten and putrid. But the prayers of the saints are compared to incense. I think there's a tie back over to the book of Exodus, chapter 30, where it talks about that incense was supposed to be before that most holy place. And that incense would come up before God, and it was to be a perpetual offering. It was supposed to be there night and day, something continually there. And what I'm saying is, I think that God delights in fellowship with you. When you're talking to him, he enjoys that. He delights in that. And listen, if he delights in it, then he ought to get it because he deserves it. He deserves that. He deserves fellowship with somebody that he paid the penalty for. Can I show you one more time? Look at Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. When I say the pattern of prayer, supplication and prayers, just fellowship. Got a bunch of young men on the altar or down here on the first pew here. I don't know if they'll be on the altar or not, but you know, I know when I was a young guy, I thought God didn't talk to anybody but the preacher. The preacher and God, they had this fellowship thing. Maybe the missionary, they had this fellowship thing. But you know, when it came to somebody like me, a little child, I didn't really have any kind of fellowship with God. But I just remind you that there was a young man by the name of Samuel, and God was talking to him, and he's calling his name, Samuel, Samuel. He runs back and he thinks Eli's calling him. That happens three times. And finally he said, "Listen, the next time that you hear that voice, you say, 'Here am I. Speak, Lord, thy servant here.'" And God spoke to Samuel. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to children. He loves to fellowship with his people. Look what it says in Genesis 3. Now, you know the story. Genesis 3, sin has entered the world because Adam and Eve have disobeyed. So now death is going to enter the world. Now we're going to have cancer. Now we're going to have murder. Now we're going to have abortion. Sin in the world. Death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And the day that Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says in verse 8, look at it now. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?'" Now again, I told you last night, God never asked questions for information. But he came down in the garden in the cool of the day, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking. You say, what was he doing? I think he was down there just to talk with Adam and Eve and just to have fellowship. He came walking in, and they hid themselves because they were afraid. Why would God have walked in the garden? To speak to them. Just like he wants to speak to you. Do you know I believe that this morning God wanted to talk with you? Whether you talk with him or not, he wanted to talk to you. If your life is in such a condition that you've got sin in your life, and you know that God is not the person you want to be in front of right now, you know what I'd say? There's no sin in your life worth fellowship with God. You ought to get that sin out of your life, and you ought to be able to enjoy the fellowship that God intended to have with you. Listen, fellowship with God is a sweet blessing. I enjoy fellowship here. It is a blessing to come to church. Well, the pastor said amen. It is a blessing to come to church. It is a blessing to be with other people. You remember COVID when they shut everything down and you had to be at home? It's a blessing to come together with the people of God. Where we're going one day, we're never going to say goodbye again. It's going to be one congregation for all eternity. It's going to be a joy. There's going to be all kind of singing. Such a blessing to be there. And I enjoy fellowship with the brethren. I enjoy fellowship with my family. Listen, I'm telling you, fellowship with the Lord will make your heart different when you get up. you're going to think I'm crazy. I shouldn't tell it. I'm going to tell it. On more than one occasion, I've got in my car to make a long drive to go preach somewhere. And when I did, I took and I cleaned off the front seat. And I took all the stuff I was carrying with me and I put it in the back seat, my book bag, all those things that I had to study with. I got in the car and I just ride down the road. And I told the Lord, Lord, if you don't mind, I sure would like you to come sit down with me and ride with me all the way up to Virginia. It'd be a blessing. I told you, you'd think I was crazy. And I'm telling you, you can believe this, you don't have to believe this. I didn't see anybody bodily sit down. I didn't feel any, the hair on the back of my neck didn't stand up. But I'm driving down the road, and me and the Lord start fellowship. I just start talking with him. And I feel like he's talking back to me. And I'm telling you, as I'm driving, do you believe it or not, it's like the blue in the sky got bluer. The white in the clouds got whiter. The burdens that were on my heart, they got left somewhere back around mile 21, and I'm going some other place. And now on more than one occasion, it got so good in the car. I'm not thinking about what I'm preaching. I got to, that happened at a fellowship meeting. I got out of the car at a fellowship meeting, and me and the Lord he rode with me all the way up this meeting in North Carolina. And when I got out and I went inside, the guy asked me to come up and preach, and honestly, I had something with me, but I hadn't spent any time praying over it, thinking about it, but I'd spent a whole lot of time with God. I walked up in the pulpit and I told him, I said, guys, I know y'all may not understand this, but me and the Lord have been riding together for the last several hours and I just had a good time fellowshipping with God. And I'm glad that I can come fellowship with you preachers, but me and the Lord had a really good time on the way here. I'm getting chill bumps right now thinking about it. And I started preaching. Oh my goodness. And he started helping me. And it's like God was saying, I said, if you're going to spend that kind of time with me, I think I'm just going to help you a little bit. And listen, what God let me do that morning, good night, I'm telling you, God showed up in a huge way in that little building of fellowship with preachers. And it all came about from one reason, because me and God were fellowshipping on the way to that meeting. You know, you can't do that if you listen to filthy music on the way to the meeting. You got rap music that's taking God's name in vain and demeaning women and all that kind of stuff like that. God ain't going to sit down in that car with you. He's going to get out of that car if he's riding with you. But boy, you make that a clean environment. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They sinned and now they're hiding. They're trying to hide from God. By the way, how many of you know you can't hide from God? Especially in his garden. You're the only two people on earth. We're going to hide in your garden. No, you're not. No, we're going to hide. You can't hide from God. I'm glad you can't hide from God. Hey, there ought to be some mothers and dads. You ought to be glad your children can't hide from God. No matter how deep in sin they get, no matter how dark their heart may get, you can't hide from a God that made you. So here they are. They're in a mess. And because they're in sin, they can't fellowship with God. Look at it. The Bible says in verse number 8, verse number 9, and the Lord God called them and said to them, where art thou? And he said, verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Because I got to seeing who I was, God, I sinned, and I was hiding from you. You know, when you have a pattern of prayer, and you got supplication, that earnest request, but then you have a time of real fellowship with God, that changes the heart. That gives vision and clarity and strength. You spend time with God. Moses spent 40 days up on a mount with God, and when he came down, he was radiating to where they had to put a veil on his face. I wonder if Our Lady spent more time with God, you could use less of oil of Olay and Botox. What do you think about that? You just radiate. Fellowship. And I'm telling you, Baptists can do it just like Roman Catholics. We make a religion out of what we have. We make a ceremony. It's mechanical. We check our boxes and we go home. It shouldn't be that. We should have come tonight to fellowship with God. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, not just gathered together, but in my name. If somebody in here came looking for the Lord and there's two or three of you, then he said, I'm showing up tonight. And that's why we ought to come. We ought to come because we get to fellowship, to sing about Him, to praise Him, to worship Him. And it's not just checking a box. And we've got something more than some statue or some idol sitting on a platform. We've got a living God that talks to us in our heart and we can speak to Him. That's what we need. We don't need religion. Religion's dead. Jesus Christ is a living God. Well, if He's living, then I need to fellowship with Him. Unless Satan has convinced me your sin is a whole lot more important than your fellowship with Him. Or your time is a whole lot more important than your fellowship with Him. It's got to be a priority. The pattern. Go back, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I knew I wasn't going to get close tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me just go ahead and give you the rest of just what's in the passage. The third thing is the people of prayer. For kings and for all that are in authority. And verse number 1, for all men, and then the purpose of prayer, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Those four things are spelled out, I think, so clearly right in the text. The priority of prayer, the pattern of prayer, the people of prayer, and the product of prayer. But let's go back one more time, and let's look at that word it says there in supplications, prayers, and intercession. We spoke a little bit about that the other night. That is where you stand in the gap for somebody that can't get a prayer through. Like Moses did for the children of Israel. All right? Like Abraham did for Lot. You stand in the gap and you pray for somebody that can't get a prayer through. That's intercession. Intercession. And then the last one there, it says, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Giving of thanks. I think that we ought to give thanks. How many of you think you can have a thankful heart without giving thanks? You can have a thankful heart. Thanksgiving is expressing that. It's like an orange. What's in that orange is succulent and juicy and sweet. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to take and you've got to express the juice out of that orange. If you want to get the juice out of it, you've got to express it. And you know what I think we ought to be? I think we ought to be thankful people. We ought not just to be thankful in our heart, but we ought to say out loud, I just want to thank the Lord for what He's done for me. I just want to thank God for being so good to me. In fact, can we do that right quick? Anybody on this side, just stand up real quick and just say, I just want to thank God for. All right, Renee, I shouldn't. Amen. That's giving thanks. All right, Michelle. Hey, get in the house. We prayed for that. Amen. Anybody else? Just real quick. Yes, sir. Brother Hahn. Healing you up so you can keep preaching back on the road. How about over here? Somebody just real quick. Something you're thankful for. Express it. All right, sister. Your son was here last night. Praise the Lord for that. Somebody else. Thankful for a church family. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Thankful for family being saved. You know what we just did? We gave thanks. It's different than being thankful. It's giving thanks. Finding the things in your life that you can say thank you to God for and expressing that to Him. The Bible's clear, every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights. If you got something good in your life, hey, if you got something good in your life, it didn't come from Uncle Sam. It didn't come from the oil fields and all the people that make the money there. It came from God. Now, I understand that check may have come through and you may work your body out and try to stay in shape. I'm just telling you, if you got good things in your life, it came from God. So then we say thank you. That's the pattern. Supplication, earnest request. Prayers, that's fellowship. Intercession, that's ministering for other people. Giving of thanks. Recognizing God's goodness in your life. Now look at the people there just a moment. I want you to look at that because I was so moved. Jesse gave me a stack of cards. And Jesse, I prayed over those cards since you gave them to me, sir. And on one card he said for salvation. And then he began listing his mother and his dad and brothers and sisters, and it just went on and on and on. Do you understand when it says that we ought to make supplication, pray, intercession, giving thanks, it says be made for, you see all men right there? All men. I think you ought to pray for all men. I think that would include lost men. And when I say lost men, all men, if you look what it says there in verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved. Hey, church, I know you believe this. God did not choose some for hell and some for heaven. God wants all men to be saved. all men to be saved. And then he goes on to say this a little bit later on. The Bible says in verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He paid for all men's sin. So I think that we ought to pray for the lost. I think you can pray for countries. How many of you think Ukraine needs prayer right now? But maybe not for the reason you think. Well, we need to pray that Ukraine won't fall back under communist rule under Russia. You know what I think? I think there are a bunch of people in Ukraine that are going to lose their life, and if somebody doesn't get the gospel to them, they're going to end up in hell. I think we need to pray for the churches that are there. We need to pray for the Christians that are over there. There's some great churches over there. Listen, Brother Chris Rue, that's going to be down with or over or up, wherever he is, Brother Bevins, he is a missionary in the Ukraine. He has churches there. There are people there that are believers. I think we ought to pray for those places. There are places where the gospel is so hard to get in, like North Korea. We have a man in our church that has partnered with some other men, and they're getting the gospel into North Korea by way of little SD chips. And they send in thousands of them. And it puts people's lives in jeopardy. And listen, they've had to flee the country. Right now they're all in South Korea, or at least a couple of them. They've had to flee the country because of the pressure that the government's put on trying to catch them. But they're getting the gospel into someone. I believe that someplace like North Korea, they have children like ours. They ought to get a chance to hear about Jesus. You get burdened and start praying about a country. God, would you please help? You've got a world map out there. Choose a country. There's countries all over the world, and we could pray for the lost people. You could pray for the lost people in your world where you work. You could pray for the lost people in your neighborhood where you live. God, please, would you save? Write them down on it. Write their name on a card and say, God, save John and save his wife and save his dog, because if he comes over here one more time, I'm going to kill him. Prayers for all men. And then look what else it says. For kings and for all that in authority. Not only all men, but all in authority. That covers a lot. Praying for our government. Yeah, your mind may be one way about the President of the United States, but whatever your mind may be about that man, that office controls a whole lot of things in this world. I think you need to pray for those in government. You have a governor of the state of Texas. You have a mayor of this town. You have a sheriff of the police department here. The Bible says we're to pray for those that are in authority. You know who else you have in authority over you? You got a pastor. The Bible says you ought to pray for that man. You ought to pray for him. Listen, you young people, you know who you have in authority over you? I can hear him say, everybody. When I'm growing up, I'm not going to listen to anybody. Boy, it never changes, does it, guys? You got an employer, you still got somebody that tells you what to do. Uncle Sam still tells you what to do. But you got parents that you can pray for. You got people you can pray for that are in authority. But look particularly in the passage, and this is I've got to get this in tonight. If you look down just a few verses where it says in verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think that is not just the kings and the governors and the employers. I think that's specifically the man that God sent you as a shepherd, as a pastor. I think when you read, I will therefore that men pray everywhere lifting up holy hands, your pastor needs holy hands. And pastor, I just tell you, listen, a pastor ought to live a clean life. We ought to have a clean mind. We ought to have a clean testimony. We ought to pay our bills. We ought not to be messed up with junk on the internet. We ought not to be messed up with stuff when it comes to vice, drinking, and gambling. These hands ought to be clean. Wouldn't you say amen to that? Man gets up here to preach the Bible, he ought to have clean hands. But look what the Bible says. Wherefore, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, I'm going to show you what I think might help your pastor as much as anything else. Go to one other place, and I'm finished tonight. Exodus chapter 17. We have seen the priority of prayer. And you know, maybe tonight, you as a husband ought to take your wife by the hand and say, honey, tonight we're going to start making prayer a priority. You know, it might be that you ought to grab one another by the hand. Maybe you'd say, hey, listen, pastor, yeah, I'm deacon in this church. We want to make prayer a priority. Or maybe a pattern of prayer. Maybe you've seen in the Bible that you need to just have fellowship with God, prayer. And that fellowship is something that he wants and he ought to have. And then the people of prayer. Look at Exodus chapter 17. Look what the Bible says. Moses is about to enter into their, well, the children of Israel are about to enter into battle, and they're going to fight with the Amalekites. And the Bible says about this battle that it says in verse number 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. So there's going to be bloodshed. Tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. All right, look at me. I believe this is the rod of God right here. I'm going to stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. All right, look what the Bible says. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with the Amalekites. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So I want you to get it. Are you looking? So when the rod was held up, God's people were winning. And when the rod went down, the enemy began victorious. And God's people began falling and dying. So the Bible says in verse 12, look at it. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now I'm going to show you what I think. Again, the people of prayer. Pastor, would you come up here just a second? The Bible says that, and bring your Bible with you. The Bible says that Amalek out there fighting with God's people. And when that Bible goes down, people start dying. So here's what I'm going to tell you. When your pastor is standing and he's preaching the Word of God, just hold that thing up high. When he's telling you what's in this book, how to live, what sins to stay away from, what righteousness to follow after, how you ought to fellowship with the Lord and with other people. As long as that book is up in the air, then what happens is you and your family, this church, you can be on the victorious side. But when that Bible comes down and he says, you know what, I'm going to stop preaching the Bible because it just doesn't seem like people want it, and I'm going to make things a little bit easier, and I think maybe tonight I'll come in and I'll just try to give some kind of encouraging talk because I'm tired of fighting, then you start losing. And so what happened is Moses kept that thing held up in there, and it got heavy. Now, I know your pastor's a big man, and that Bible is not a little Bible. All right, but if we are staying in this position for the next 15 minutes, that Bible right there is going to get a little bit difficult to hold. Try holding it for 8 years. Is that how long you've been here? 8 years. Try holding it for 8 years. You think it get a little heavy after 8 years? Hey, I pastored 22 years in Alabama holding up the Bible to the same people 22 years in a community. Long time. So he started getting weary, verse 12. And it looks like things are fixing to go bad. So what happens is they bring and they sit him down and they say, okay, Pastor, we're going to try to help you. So I need just two men. How about Josh? Come on, Josh. How about Renee? Renee said, I'm coming. I don't care if he calls my name or not. I like it. So here's what happens. Put that Bible in both hands, if you would. Both hands right there. All right. Hold it up. Now, you hold one arm. Josh, you hold it up. Except I want you this. I want you to kneel down. I want you to kneel down. Now, I want you to see this. That's the picture in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I would that those holy hands be lifted up. And here's why, because if you praying for that man in authority, what that does, that helps you get what you need from the Bible. It helps you with your family, your children, your finances. It helps you to be able to reach your friends and your lost loved ones. It helps you to walk with God. It helps you to keep away from the devil. As long as this is the picture and this man's praying and this man here is praying, and he can keep holding that up. But let me show you what happens when people quit praying. Just go ahead, fellas, quit. Yeah, did you see how it came down like that? Prayer has to be a priority. Listen, and there has to be more than just, oh, I've got to pray. There has to be a fellowship in your prayer with God. And the people that you pray for, government, authority, all men, especially the man that's pastoring your church, because you need that. And he needs that. He needs that. Thank you, Brian. You can sit down. Thank you, fellas. You did a great job. So let me ask you a question tonight. We just did a study in 1 Timothy chapter 2 about prayer. Maybe you would take your spouse, your children by the hand and get on an altar and say, we are going to make prayer a priority. We're going to make prayer a priority. Or maybe tonight you get on the altar and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I hadn't been in fellowship with you the way I should. But I tell you what, come tomorrow morning, you're going to hear my voice. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. Pray and cry aloud, and you're going to hear my voice. God, I want to make fellowship with you a priority. And the people in authority, the every man, the lost men, and the men that are leading the congregation, the government, God, help me to be able to call them by name. So that's the invitation tonight. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? God spoke to your heart. You just get out of the pew and come. We don't have to belabor that. Either he spoke to you or he didn't. Amen, Jesse. Amen, Brother Tommy. Amen, Renee. And again, maybe just saying, listen, tonight of all nights, we're going to make prayer prior. We're going to get to an altar tonight. We're praying together tonight. We're going to do that tonight. We're going to make it a priority. We've tried so many other things and they failed. You can go ahead and play, Sam. And I'm telling you, your pastor needs your prayer. Your lost neighbor needs your prayer. Those people at work, they need your prayer. And we if we're going to ever see God's hand work like it did in days of old, prayer has to be a priority. It can't be second, third, fourth. Well, if it turns all bad, then we'll just let it go. But no, it has to be a priority. Well, amen. I tell you what, this many people on an altar, that'll make a difference. Saw a man just come up and put his hand on his pastor to pray with him. That'll make a difference. God wants to help us. Prayer has to be a priority. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for this pastor, for these people. And I know, Lord, they're stretching themselves tonight even, coming in from work. And I pray, God, you'd help them to see that fellowship with you is a premium in this world. It's something, Lord, that religion knows nothing about. But it's something that the God of heaven, through the sacrifice of Jesus, gave us the liberty to have sweet fellowship. I pray you'd help us to keep things out of our life that would hinder that. And you'd help us to make prayer a priority. Help us to put it at the top of the page. And Lord, would you shake this place? Would you shake Beeville, Texas? With the power of the gospel, would you shake this place? That everybody would know there's a God in heaven that hears, answers prayer, that's living. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Pray on as long as you want.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. It reminds me of, I think it was a man named Ian Bounds. And he said, this in the 1800s. He said, the church doesn't need more machinery, more programs. What it needs is more people of prayer. That's true. God help us be a praying people. Help us. We're going to do now, we'll have, I think you guys have another special you're going to sing. All right, well, y'all can get ready for that. And while they're getting ready, they're going to sing, and we'll go ahead and get a couple guys up here to pass the plate around. So, while they sing. So, Michelle, y'all got the house? Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Amen. Hey, there you go. There you go. Use this house for the Lord. Amen. All right, Craig, how about you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, or this evening, excuse me. Lord, and we just thank you for what we've heard this evening, Lord.
Amen.
We pray that we each individually would not only hear the word this evening, Lord, but we would apply it. We would apply it to our lives, our relationship with you, and Lord, that we would focus more on our prayer life with you, Lord, and our relationship. God, most of all, I pray for someone here this evening that doesn't have that relationship with you, doesn't know you as their Savior. God, that they heard something this evening that would touch their heart.
Amen.
Accept your Son as payment for their sin, Lord, so they can avoid eternity in hell and spend eternity in heaven with you.
Amen.
We love you and thank you for all you do for us. Lord, you've been so good to us. Bless us.
Amen.
This week. Give us more from your word this week, Lord.
And amen.
Come open and ready to receive your word, Lord. Love you and thank you for all you do for us.
Amen.
Soon a day is coming and draweth nigh, when a host shall gather in the sky. And through clouds like thunder will the Lord descend, when he comes the judgment day begins. Every soul that stands against you shall fall on bended knee. Every doubting I shall see you return triumphantly. Every tongue that has been told you shall cry that you are Lord, you are Lord. Christ is Lord, mighty God, Messiah, the Prince of Peace, highest of the name above all names. Name that cast out demons, causes death to cease, lifted up and worthy to be praised. Every foe that stands against you shall fall on bended knee. Every doubting I shall see you return triumphantly. Every tongue that has been denied you shall cry that you are Lord, you are Lord. Christ is Lord, and they call him Jesus. He saves from sin every soul who calls upon his name. He's the conquering lion, the redeeming lamb, worthy one who died for sinners slain. Every soul that stands against you shall fall on bended knee. Every doubting I shall see you return triumphantly. Every tongue that has denied you shall cry that you are Lord, you are Lord. Christ is Lord.
Amen. Good job, you guys. Good job. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what we've heard this week. Thank you so much for getting Brother Joel here safely. Thank you so much for speaking through him. Lord, again, like Craig said, Father, if there's anybody here that's not saved, I pray they understand their need for Jesus Christ. Understand there's the sin that they've committed puts them in a dangerous spot between them and you. And there's judgment. They understand the judgment. They make judgments about other people. Understand judgment. Lord, I pray you convict hearts, not just lost folks, saved folks. God, help us be a praying people. Help us. Thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray you'd continue to feed us this week and help us. We need your help. Thank you for all the folks that are here. Thank you for all the souls that are here this evening. And pray you remind us of what we've heard. Help us be praying people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.